Hello, everybody. This is Dave Stovall, and you're listening to another Renew Presents audio post. Today's interview is between Renew editorial director Daniel McCoy and Guy Hammond, which is the executive director and founder of the ministry Strength and Weakness. Guy has an amazing testimony, and today's conversation gives us a really good insight into the mission of Strength and Weakness, which is to bridge the gap between the Christian community and the LGBTQ community. So if you are a human being on planet Earth, then this topic is going to affect you in some way or another. So let's dive in together and listen in on this conversation.
So I've noticed that Strength and Weakness's tagline is to bridge the gap between the Christian community and the LGBT community. I want you to pretend like I just got back from living on the moon, and I say, what gap?
Okay. Well, yes, Daniel, there's a huge gap between most people who call themselves Christians and people in the LGBTQ community. Sadly, over the years, especially the last 40 to 50 years, people in the gay community have been largely ostracized, and I think often, not always, but often mistreated by people who call themselves Christians. I think over the years, there's been a lot of people who call themselves Christians who have said and done things in the name of Jesus to people in that community that Jesus would never say or do. And I think it's really caused a lot of harm to this relationship and our ability to really be able to evangelize gay and lesbian people in our communities and in our families. And I think we've largely wrongly stereotyped people in the gay community. So that's been a huge challenge. The other challenge has been is that I think people in the gay community have wrongly stereotyped us. Most people I would think in the gay community would rush to the assumption that most Christians are homophobic and bigoted and have very little interest in their lives or how they're living or any way for us to be able to help them. But I think both of us are wrong. I think a lot of Christians assume that there's no open people in the gay community who would like to know about Jesus. And I think we're wrong there. So there is this huge gap that's really, I think, only gotten wider and wider, especially in the last few years. So I'm hoping that my ministry can play its role in trying to be able to close that gap as much as possible so that we can, have a better impact for Christ and also just learn to love people who are that are different than us, whether they're open to the gospel or not.
Nowadays, there are all sorts of opportunities with churches that are more affirming, authors that are more affirming, that now would allow someone to say, okay, I can be a faithful Christian and yet still live as a bisexual, lesbian, transgender, whatever, and they seem happy. So why spoil it for them?
Well, I don't think that it's God's goal to try to spoil anybody's life. If anything, I think God puts in boundaries and restraint and guardrails into our lives to be able to protect us and help us live a truly fulfilling and fulfilling life. And in fact, that's what Jesus said that he came to do, was to give life to the full. And so being a man who's same-sex attracted and lived a gay life for many years, I can tell you that for the number of years that I was actively involved in homosexuality, I had a boyfriend for 10 years. By the time I had found Christ and changed my ways, I had acted out hundreds of times with different men. So I know of which I speak. The truth is that the boundaries and restraint, the rules and regulations that we get through Scripture on sexual ethics really have benefited my life in an enormous way. And I have personally found, Daniel, that Jesus has been able to meet my emotional, relational, and certainly spiritual deficits way better than homosexuality or anything else ever could. And so I think when we're reaching out to the gay community, we want them to know that Jesus is better. Jesus can meet their needs better than whatever it is they're turning to. In regards to pro-gay theology, which you just mentioned, how people feel like they can kind of have their cake and eat it too, belong to a gay-affirming church and love Jesus and also be involved in a monogamous homosexual relationship, I completely disagree with that viewpoint of Scripture. And there's a whole theology around it. It's called pro-gay theology. There's approximately 40 different arguments the pro-gay apologists use to prove their point. I think Christians need to educate themselves on that. But I think what happens most often is people use love as their final standard of determining what is right and wrong. And as Christians, we can't do that. Love may be very nice. It might be beautiful. It might feel really good. But just because you love somebody doesn't make it right. And so that would be my argument, certainly in regards to a committed gay relationship. We're not arguing whether or not the love is genuine. It might be, but that doesn't mean that it's right before God. In fact, we're told in the book of Matthew, Matthew 10, I believe it is, that if we love anything more than God, it becomes sinful. So I disagree with that whole theology that you can live an active gay life and be a Christian. Probably not nearly enough time in this interview to be able to go through that, but lots of information on that to be able to educate yourself on pro-gay theology and take their arguments apart.
Why the name Strength and Weakness?
Well, you know, I think one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is that God can take our broken parts, our areas of struggle and weakness, and allow us through his power to go do something great with that. And, you know, homosexuality was a huge weakness in my life during the years that I was living that way. I wouldn't have said that then. It's only with the gift of 20/20 hindsight I recognize that. But, you know, I want God to be able to take my broken parts and areas of weakness and allow me to go do something great for him. My current tagline, I think actually this is going to be the title of my next book, is use your mess to bless. God wants to take whatever struggle you have, whatever area of brokenness and weakness you have, and he wants to use your life to go do something great for him. And so a lot of people who come to Christianity from a homosexual background feel like, you know, they're just full of brokenness and weakness. I want them to know, man, there's a lot of actual strength there that God can use to be able to help others.
Yeah. Could you go into your story, you know, how you went from that lifestyle to coming to Christ and, you know, how'd that happen?
Yeah, as I said, I started participating in homosexuality around the tender age of 12, believe it or not. I was sexually molested by a man when I was 8 years old. How much of a role that played in my being same-sex attracted, I'll never know for sure. But it was something I participated in all through my teen years and into my mid-20s. And as I said a moment ago, I had a boyfriend for 10 years and just crossed a lot of dangerous lines and involved in a lot of anonymous sexual encounters with strangers. By the time I was, you know, in my mid-20s, life had really chewed me up and spit me out, and I was feeling really lost and really had nowhere to go for help. Of course, in God's perfect timing, he sent someone who invited me to a church. I was so hesitant to go, and finally decided, you know, why not? Like, my life is such a mess right now. Maybe these people can actually help me. So I went to this church, and I was so impressed and taken back by what I saw and heard and the messages I heard. But I was too embarrassed or ashamed to tell anybody who I really was, so I kept that information really closely guarded. But it took me 2 years. I went to church, to that church, for 2 years, every Sunday, hearing the messages, building relationships with Christians, until I finally decided after 2 years that I decided I wanted Jesus more than I wanted homosexuality. And so I went to one of the pastors and said, okay, here's who I really am. Here's how I've been living my life, and I need help. And they were so gracious, so kind, so helpful. And we went through a series of Bible studies over a period of a couple of weeks, and I finally decided, you know, that, yeah, absolutely, I wanted to be a Christian. And, you know, I'll tell you, this is one of the secret success in even helping people become Christians now from that community. This was big for me. I didn't leave homosexuality at the time because, you know, I thought it was so bad. The truth is, homosexuality worked in a lot of ways for me. I didn't leave homosexuality because I thought it was so bad. I left homosexuality to become a Christian because somebody was able to prove to me with an open Bible how much better Jesus is. And when I became convinced that Jesus was going to be able to meet my needs way better than homosexuality, he became an obvious choice. And certainly I was so moved by the cross and the crucifixion of Christ and thought, if he's willing to do that for me, then I need to be willing to do anything for him. So based on my understanding of the biblical sexual ethic, I believed that that meant I had to leave homosexuality behind forever. I could never participate in it again. And so I was baptized on August 15th, 1987. And I have not participated in any kind of homosexual activity since my conversion 32 years ago. So I really did leave that life behind forever. Although I'm still attracted to the same gender. That's never changed, but I just refuse to go back to that life.
What is some advice for the church on how to bridge the gap?
Well, I think we need to become a safe place for people to come and learn about Jesus. And my question to the church is, can we be secure enough in our own faith to allow there to be people with us with whom we disagree? And a lot of times Christians aren't into that. We only want people around us with whom everybody agrees with us, or they're just like us. But to be able to reach out to the gay community, we're going to have to be a place that is truly a spiritual hospital for sick people. That means everybody is welcome. We say everybody's welcome, but we don't often really mean it. And we're going to have to be a place that really welcomes gay and lesbian people to come and worship and learn about Jesus. And sometimes that's going to take a while to happen. Like I said, my story is it took 2 years of going to church to learn about Jesus before I was ready to become a Christian. So can we be secure enough in our own faith to allow gay and lesbian people to come and worship and learn about Jesus while we build relationships with these people, giving them time and space to figure this stuff out? Because these are complex issues and they're often not going to be figured out in a matter of weeks or even months. And so we have to really fight to create that kind of environment within our churches. The other thing I'll say is it would be helpful for us to find causes that the gay community is working on with that we agree on. So for instance, maybe things like homelessness or third world development taking care of the environment. I mean, gay people care about these things just like we care about these things. And I think maybe it would be helpful to say, okay, we disagree on sexual ethics, but on these other topics, we're in lockstep. So let's work side by side on the issues we do agree on. And I think that would also be helpful to be able to build a relationship with these people.
It seems like a lot of people's go-to application when it comes to anything LGBT, it has to do with politics and not relationships. Do you see that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, so I'm Canadian, right? So I live in Toronto, and most of my work is done in the United States. So I travel throughout the USA almost weekly. It's a very different environment here in Canada when it comes to political issues. But in the United States, I mean, everything is just so ramped up all the time. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my American brothers and sisters and, you know, the United States. I'm a big fan. But as a Canadian, you know, looking south of our border, wow, I mean, you guys are just like crazy when it comes to your politics, and you can't even have a conversation about issues with everybody getting all upset. So particularly on issues like this, you're so right. I will tell you my personal standpoint is I think it's a mistake for Christians to get caught up into these issues and dealing with them from the political arena. I think, you know, vote how you want to vote when you get into the voting booth. But, you know, I think sometimes Christians have become more known as protesters than Christians. And we spend so much time protesting stuff, we can become more known as protesters than as Christians, and people won't want to hear what we have to say about Jesus. So I just think it's a mistake to go into the public square as Christians and try to fight these social issues like homosexuality, because it detracts from the message of Jesus. And that's just my personal standpoint. Not everybody will agree with that, but we want these people to become Christians. What we should be doing for them is praying for them, for their hearts to turn to Christ, not protesting them.
So if there was one thing that you could just wave a magic wand and have the church never do or say ever again with reference to the LGBT community, what would it be?
Oh, goodness sakes. Well, you know, one tagline that is often used by a lot of Christians, which is never really helpful, is love the sinner, hate the sin. You know, oh, we love gay people, we just hate the sin. Gay people don't understand that logic, and all they hear in that term is the word hate. So I as a Christian and as somebody who's used that line myself in the past, I mean, I understand what we're trying to say, but that's not a helpful tagline. I think if I could wave a magic wand, it would be to help Christians believe and understand that there are other Guy Hammonds walking around out there. There are other people like Guy Hammond who are living a gay life, but are open to the message of Jesus and would be willing to change and leave their gay life behind in order to follow Christ. A lot of Christians are under the assumption that gay and lesbian people have no room for Jesus and no room for the gospel message or the church in their lives. And it is true statistically, you know, most gay people probably won't. I get it. It's a tough conversion, but there are other gay and lesbian people in our communities, transgender people in our communities, who will give their lives for Jesus. And so you should not assume that everybody is not open to the gospel message. You shouldn't assume that. So share your faith with confidence and boldness. Many people will say no to you, but there are some other people like Guy Hammond who eventually will say yes, and you can impact these people for Jesus forever.
And key word, eventually. I think that is so helpful to think of it in terms of a process and not just an instantaneous response.
Yeah, great point. I mean, it's going to take time, right? I mean, again, going back to my story, 2 years of going to church to hear the message before I was ready to give my life to Jesus. And you know, a lot of times the Holy Spirit is just going to move at a different pace than we would like him to. And, you know, again, it's going to take time. I think one of the big keys is we have to build relationships. People aren't just going to leave their gay life and follow Jesus because, you know, you invited them to a church service once or twice. Like, it's going to take you investing. Like, will you have these people in your home? Will you feed them? Will you go to a movie with them? Will you share your life with them? I think unless we're willing to do that, we're not going to have the kind of impact we need to have. We need to build on relationships. It's, I think, one of the key components that's going to be necessary, and a tough component too. A lot of people, you know, hospitality sometimes is hard. It takes a lot of work to be hospitable with people with whom you disagree. It's hard to be hospitable with people that you that live differently than you. It's easy to have your friends over. What about the people that you don't get along with? You know, that you like, can you be hospitable with them? That's what we're going to have to start doing to be able to have a serious impact with people in the gay community. And we know those people are like, they live in your neighborhood, right? They're next door neighbors. Are there people that you go to work with? Like, you don't have to look very hard to find some gay and lesbian people in your community. Like, they're right there. I mean, you go to school with them. I mean, they're probably in your family. So, you know, the question is, do you know them? The question is, will you engage by being hospitable with them and sharing your life with them over a period of time? I think by doing that, you can build a relationship where they'll eventually want to know about Jesus.
Yeah. And there's such a barrier there that can be there where it's like, I see the agenda. I see, oh, those are the people that are trying to take over America or whatever, rather than seeing a person and wanting to build an actual relationship.
Yeah. Well, so true, right? I so appreciate you saying that. A lot of times we can look at gay and lesbian people like they're an issue, and they're not an issue. They're human beings. And most gay people are just regular folks, right? Most gay people are not militant. They're not pro-gay proponents who, you know, want to be on a float in a parade and fight and argue. Most gay people are not that. Most gay people are just regular folks. They got moms and dads and brothers and sisters. They have a job to go to. They go to school. They got bills to pay. They got to cut their grass. They want to contribute to their communities. And they want to be left alone. They don't want to fight and argue either. So a lot of times we can assume, no, I don't want to engage with these people because I don't want to fight. Well, they don't want to fight and argue.
So let's say we have someone listening. Let's say it's a Christian who has some kind of LGBT leanings, but in secret, you know, because he or she knows what the Bible teaches. And so in a very fear-based, what advice do you have for that person?
Yeah, great question. I want you to know that if you're a Christian who's same-sex attracted, I want you to know that there is a place for you in Jesus's church, and God is not ashamed or embarrassed of you. And God wants to use this area of struggle in your life to go do something great for him. And I would be helpful if you could find a trusted spiritual advisor in your church, somebody who would respect your need for privacy and confidentiality, and somebody who is spiritually centered with a good grasp of scripture, and someone who's just somebody you trust and who could be a good friend. It would be great if you could find that person, ideally even two people like that within your church family that you could talk to. And you know, it's one of the reasons, Daniel, why my ministry is here, Strength and Weakness Ministries. And because we want to help Christians who are same-sex attracted. So I have a whole ministry centered and based on this, where we have support groups, and I've written devotionals and quiet time studies and videos, all designed to help Christian men and women of all ages and demographics who are living with unwanted same-sex attractions. And so, you know, you're not alone. There's thousands and thousands of us, and we're here to help. So, you know, you can certainly use our ministry as a go-to place as well.
Let's say we have someone listening, a Christian whose relative or close friend just came out as gay. They're not sure how to respond. What's your advice?
You know, I think probably the first thing you should do is go to that relative or friend and say something like, you know, there isn't anything you could say or do that would let me think less of you or love you less. You're my friend. You're my relative. I care about you. And that must have been really difficult for you to release that real private information to me. And I just want you to know how honored I am that you would feel safe enough with me to reveal this information. And I'm here for you, and we'll get through this together. And if this is a person who is interested in spiritual things, great. You could say, listen, let's find someone together in the church that we can go to, and let's really try to help you live a faithful, successful Christian life, even though you're dealing with same-sex attraction issues. If the person is not interested or has not shown previous interest in the Bible, I would say something like, listen, someday when you're ready, I just want you to know that I think the message of Jesus is for everybody. I think Jesus loves you incredibly. And one day when you're ready, I would love to sit down with an open Bible and have an honest conversation about following Jesus and what that means, and how that relates to you in terms of sexual ethics and this newly revealed information that you're same-sex attracted. So I don't want to keep bothering you about it. I'll leave the ball in your court when you're ready, though I'm here. I'd love to have that talk. Doing something like that with somebody who just came up with this information to you, I think helps, because it takes the burden and pressure off of you, and it puts it on them to be able to bring up this conversation again in the future when they're ready. And I think it also relinquishes it to the Holy Spirit. You've told them you want to speak to them, you want to talk to them about Jesus. You're going to leave it with them to bring that up when they're ready. So now you just pray like crazy that the Holy Spirit will work and maneuver his way through their lives to bring them to a place where they want to have that conversation again someday. But it takes the burden and the weirdness out of the relationship. Like somehow you got to keep talking about Jesus and their homosexuality, and that can get really strange. So that's how I would deal with it. I think that putting the ball in their court could really be helpful. But ultimately, we just want people to know we love them, we're here for them, and there is a place for them in Jesus' church.
We in the church, we're used to being the good guys in culture. We're used to having people look at Christians and say, oh yeah, those are the good guys. With some of the changes that have taken place in the culture, we're finding ourselves more and more as, oh, they're the, you know, fill in the blank, they're the haters, they're the bigots. Even those who are very loving, we can still be seen as that because of our beliefs, having bigoted beliefs, even if we're nice people or whatever. And so what advice would you give to someone who's really struggling as a Christian, saying, man, it's so hard to be labeled these things when I'm really just trying to be a loving person and still try to speak the truth?
Wow, what a tough spot to be in. But so goes the history of Christianity. I think, you know, the traditional biblical sexual ethic, the idea that sexual intimacy is to be reserved between that of a man and a woman bound together only in marriage, has never been popular. And it wasn't popular in the days of Jesus, in the days of Paul. It's not popular today. And if human beings are still walking the earth 2,000 years from now, it won't be popular, which always means that there will always be people who will ridicule us, mock us, and persecute us because of our understanding of Scripture and where we stand. My message to them is, so A, this is normal and it's natural, and Jesus even warned us that this would happen. B, please don't lower your understanding of Scripture. Please don't succumb and capitulate to society and culture to lose your convictions on what the Bible teaches on these really important issues. Please stand for what you believe in. You can stand for what you believe in and still be kind and respectful. But society is screaming for Christians to change how they think on these issues. And I would say, please don't give into that. The third thing I would say is that one lesson that I've learned doing my ministry, because I've been protested a lot over the years by gay rights activists. It's hard to reason with people who are unreasonable. And so I feel like what we need to do is recognize that if people don't want to have an honest conversation, an open dialogue, where they're able to express their views, but you're also able to express yours, and you can have a conversation. If people aren't interested in that, but all they want to do is fight and argue, and they want to trap you, then don't even bother. Just politely say thank you and move on. I feel like Christians can really get caught up, especially in things like social media. We can get caught up in really stupid and dumb arguments on issues like this with people who don't want to have a conversation. All they want to do is argue. And my advice is don't argue. It's not worth your time. And it doesn't accomplish anything.
So November 6th in Franklin, Tennessee at the Renew Gathering, you're going to be doing a workshop. And could you give us just a little preview of what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, I'm so excited to come to Franklin to do this workshop. Certainly, I'll be talking about my story and how I left a life of homosexuality in order to follow Jesus. But we're also going to be talking about things like genetics and what does science show, whether people are born this way or not. We're going to talk about whether or not change is possible. We're going to talk about strategies on how to convert gay and lesbian people to Jesus. We're going to talk about things like terminology and what the different words mean that are often thrown around. And I just want to be able to give people the bridge building language they need to be able to share their faith with their gay friends and neighbors, at least them to be able to leave that workshop feeling, you know what, but before I came in, I wasn't sure what to say or do, but at least I've got some confidence now, and I've got some words that I can use, some bridge building language I can use, so that I'm not so intimidated anymore by this topic, but I can go in with a lot more confidence and a lot better prepared. So, I promise anybody who comes to this class in Franklin will get a lot out of it.
Very cool. Hey, in closing, would you be able to just pray for us, pray for the church as we seek to bridge that gap?
Of course. Thanks. Yeah, I'd be honored. Heavenly Father, God, I pray for your church. I pray that we would be bold. I pray that we would be confident. I pray that we would stay strong on your scriptures and on things like sexual ethics. I pray that we would do so unapologetically. I pray, Father, we would do all of that with a tremendous heart of humility, a tremendous heart of kindness and generosity to a group of people who have been largely disenfranchised. And I pray that we, with the love of Jesus, would accept these people, even though we may not approve, that we would be willing to be hospitable, to open our lives, our hearts, and our homes to these people so that we can build relationship in the hopes that someday these people, Father, would be willing to give their lives to you. Help us to remember there are open gay, lesbian, and transgender people in our communities. They're open to the gospel, but we need to find them. Pray that we will overcome our fears to be able to start sharing our faith boldly with people with whom we disagree.
Thanks so much for listening to this audio post, and just want to encourage you guys, make sure you go to renew.org and sign up for our newsletter so that you can stay up to date on new posts and blogs, and you can find out more info about our upcoming gathering where we'll have speakers and workshops by awesome people like Guy Hammond. So check that out. Again, there's a million places that you could be listening to podcasts and audio posts. Thanks for choosing ours. Have a great day.